I'll mention it again in the prayer request, but Sister Kathy's mom passed away yesterday. Yesterday, yes. We went by and saw her on Monday, and they had her up, and she was able to sit. So we spent some time with her, and then Tuesday she passed away. So I'll get more information regarding the funeral.
Kathy Helley's mom.
Kathy Helley's, who did I say?
Well, you just said Sister Kathy.
It's Kathy Helley's mom.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of Kathy's in here. Sorry, my brain's like scrambled eggs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really scrambled eggs. So just keep them in prayer. And I, when I get more information, I think the funeral is going to be this coming Tuesday, the 21st. I believe that's the date on it. I'll get more information out about the times. I'm supposed to meet with Brother Craig tomorrow and his brother-in-law regarding the arrangements. So just keep them in prayer. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, and your love towards us. Lord, I just ask for your help tonight. Pray just lead God and direct us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be in church. Thank you for your love towards us and everything you do for us. And Lord, I pray you just be glorified now. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I got a little something different. You don't have it. I'm singing out a different hymn book because I want to sing Be Thou My Vision tonight. But we'll start with page 266. So if you're able to stand, page 266 in the Great Hymns of the Faith hymn book, because that's where the Be Thou My Vision is at. Page 266, stand. We're going to sing Fade, Fade, Each Earthly Joy. Fade, Fade, Each Earthly Joy. Page 266. All right. Fade, fade, each earthly joy, Jesus is mine. Break every tender tie, Jesus is mine. Dark is the wilderness, earth has no resting place. Jesus alone can bless, Jesus is mine. Tempt not my soul away, Jesus is mine. Here would I ever stay, Jesus is mine. Perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day, pass from my heart away, Jesus is mine. Farewell, ye dreams of night, Jesus is mine. Lost in this dawning bright, Jesus is mine. All that my soul has tried, left but a dismal void, Jesus has satisfied, Jesus is mine. Farewell, mortality, Jesus is mine. Welcome, eternity, Jesus is mine. Welcome, O loved and blessed. Welcome, sweet scenes of rest. Welcome, my Savior's breast, Jesus is mine.
Amen.
You know, I love this song because of what it says. It says there in that third stanza, the second part, there it says, all of my soul is tried, left but a dismal void. Jesus has satisfied. And it talks about breaking every tender tie. Dark is the wilderness. Earth has no resting place. You know, the more I seek and see things and look at things in the news and things that come across my path, it just finds people are looking. They're looking for something to satisfy. They're looking for something to take that longing that's in their heart and their soul. And they try everything that the world has to offer, yet in reality it leaves them void of true satisfaction. Some will say, well, I'll try religion, I'll try drugs, I'll try alcohol, I'll try food, I'll try... job, I'll try family. All these things we'll try Yet the only thing that truly will satisfy is Jesus Christ. Take your hymn book here. Let's go to page 334. One of my favorite hymns to sing, Be Thou My Vision. Page number 334. I'm trying to sing this one here. Page 334.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright Beth Sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Amen. That's a beautiful hymn. Amen. Page number 42, last hymn we'll sing this evening. Page number 42, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Amen. Page 42.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransom from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting.
Thank you for that singing tonight. Amen. Nothing better for me. Nothing better for me. I don't know about you. Nothing better for me than singing about Jesus Christ, my Savior, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad to be in church tonight. I'm glad I got a Bible. The reason why I say I'm glad I have a Bible, because I'm glad that I have something that gives me the authority of what to stand upon.
Yes,
right? Gives me authority of what to stand upon. You say, Brother Chris, well, what do you believe? I believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
I believe what the Scriptures say. What does the Bible say? It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter my opinions. It doesn't matter my thoughts, my ideas, my imaginations. But what does the Bible say? But the problem today in our society is, number one, the Bible has been diluted and watered down just like Christianity and religion as a whole. It's been diluted and watered down, and thus people do not understand or know what the Bible says. There's very few people that you'll ask today that claim to be Christians who have read the Bible all the way through.
Preach.
Not just read it through once, but I say to you as a preacher, you ought to read through the Bible as many times as you can before you pass off the scene.
Yeah, come on.
Read the Scriptures. Stay in the Scriptures. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, He said, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor what? The power of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's lacking in churches today? The power of God.
Amen.
Brethren, I had some time, me and Brother Sam were over here some this week trying to figure out this furnace situation, and I get a little thing on my phone, just some headlines sometimes that pop up, and I noticed one from the Morning Call referring to a minister in this area here, and they decided because people aren't coming to churches that we'll just take the churches to tattoo parlors. Brethren, listen. If this book's not true and Jesus Christ is not true, then just let me live my life the way I want to live it. Why would I waste my time? But you see, what this Lord, I'm telling you, brethren, what this world is looking for is a little piece of spirituality, just a little piece of spirituality. Yet let me still do what I want to do and be my own God. Let me have a little bit of God just to satisfy and salve my conscience, but I'm still going to do what I want to do. What's missing today is a difference between a true Christian and the world.
Yes.
We're missing that today. There used to be a difference. There used to be a difference. But the lines have been muddied. The waters have been muddied. The lines have been grayed. And we got this mushy, soft area here of what's true and what's not true, rather than a distinction between true Bible-believing Christianity. Take your Bible this evening and look at 2 Peter chapter 3 as we continue our study here in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at these things tonight. Chapter 2 talked about false teachers. It talked about false prophets, how they're going to come in the last days. They're going to beguile, which means they're going to trick and they're going to use craftiness to beguile unstable souls. And they're going to make merchandise of individuals. Most religions today make merchandise of their congregants. Most ministries today will promote money. Give me money. Take up offerings. We need money. And they're going to make merchandise of those that are under them. And they'll promise them liberty. You understand? Most churches today will promise you liberty. Yet, the Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 2 that they themselves are servants of corruption. And these individuals are overcome. They get a little bit of taste of Jesus. They escape a little bit of the pollutions of the world. They clean their lives up a little bit in verses 20 and 21 in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. They clean themselves up a little bit. They get a little bit better. They get religion, but they don't get true biblical born-again salvation. Listen, you don't morph into salvation. You don't morph into the new birth. It's instantaneous.
Yes.
Me and Melanie, she was listening to a preacher today, and he was talking about new evangelicalism. And he made a statement in there, and I said, you know what? Somebody made this statement to me the other day who ought to know better, and they had in their mind that faith is just something that you morph into. Absolutely not. And it's creeping in. And this individual talked about a book put out about this individual talking about new evangelicalism and this thing of kind of like faith that you just kind of come into faith. No, biblical salvation and a new birth is instantaneous.
When you were born out of your mother's womb, it was instantaneous. You didn't come into this world over 3 years. No, your mama gave birth and you came out in an instant. And on some birth certificates, it has it down to the hour, to the minute, to sometimes even the second of when you were born. That's biblical salvation. That's the new birth, and it's instantaneous. But these things creep in. And we're lacking true power with God today because we've neglected God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, Peter here, he's getting ready to close this letter out to his people that he sent it out to. And he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Do you see what Peter's saying? He's getting ready to close this thing out. And he's going to talk about, we're not going to get into it tonight, about people making fun of true Bible believers. You know it's going to happen. Look back over to chapter 2 and look at verse number 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Look what Peter says to them. And he says, many, talking about false teachers, he says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, which means their destructive ways. But look what they're also going to say. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now get that tonight. Get that statement again. I know I'm going over it, but get it. False teachers. We ain't talking about the guy at the bar. We're not talking about the people that are in Wiccan or paganism. We're not talking about those individuals. We're talking about people who hold a Bible, who are trying to preach a gospel, yet they bring in destruction. And many shall follow their destructive ways, their pernicious ways. And these individuals are going to speak evil of who? Those that follow the way of truth. I ask you a question today. Those who may be listening on live stream. What is truth? What is truth? Pilate, before Jesus was crucified, Jesus was standing right in front of Pilate, right before he goes to the cross. And Pilate looks at Jesus at one final moment there in their discourse with one another. And Pilate looks at Jesus and he says, "What is truth?" And if that man only realized at that time, truth personified was standing right in front of him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. Now listen, but through Jesus Christ in truth. There's a false Jesus being preached out here today. Paul, in the book of Galatians, talks about a false gospel. Oh, it's evident. It's magnifying itself. It's multiplying itself quicker than we can speak. Brethren, this world is not going to turn away from spirituality. Actually, it's turning to spirituality, but a false spirituality. You know this stuff? Look, when I finished working with the state down there in South Carolina, there was this big push. It started coming in, and I've seen it even more up here in Pennsylvania, a big push for this training on mindfulness. Just Google mindfulness and you're going to see it is flooding the workplace. It's flooding schools. It's flooding colleges. This teaching of mindfulness to where you get a teacher in front of, brethren, I had it done to me. I went to a conference down there in South Carolina for criminal justice and the juvenile justice system. And you had all these people from different state agencies coming to this huge auditorium for this conference. And they were talking about things. And they had one section just on mindfulness. Now this is a state agency. They had everybody bow their heads. Close your eyes. Start taking in deep breaths. Breathe out, breathe in. That's yoga. That's spiritualism. Let go of what's in your mind. Let go. No, you don't ever let go. You don't ever let go. You always stay in control of your mind, and we're going to get that tonight. You don't ever get into a state. Look, I have Christians that I've talked to that think hypnosis is okay. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what's in your very midst in this church. Brethren, this is this from Thursday afternoon till today, I about lost my mind. And I'm not playing no games. I about done lost my mind. Yesterday, it was the battle. My mind was so crazy. I wanted to ram my head into a wall. And I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. I think the Lord's trying. And the reason I'm saying trying, because the Lord's not going to force, of trying to get a hold of some individuals. Brethren, look, I know some people in here got Facebook, and I understand it. I despise it. I despise Facebook. I despise it. I despise the problems that it creates for preachers. I despise it. When you can have an individual on Facebook that says, get more tattoos so it'll be harder for Jeffrey Dahmer or individuals like Jeffrey Dahmer to eat you. Brethren, God help us. God help us. I tried to get some counsel this week from some godly men. This man's been preaching for almost 40 years. He said, Brother Chris, he said, you know what, Brother Chris? He said, I'm afraid when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, most Christians are going to wish their pastors were harder on them. He said, Brother Chris, he said, it's been hit me lately. He said, God's doing something. He's trying to do something with his church. He said, it's come to my mind that it makes me wonder that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, that most Christians are going to wish that their pastors were hard on them. Brethren, God hates sin. God hates sin. Do you understand? You say, well, you're preaching a hate message. Well, actually, I'm preaching a love message. Because when you realize how much God hates sin, yet he was willing to pay the price for your sin, it ought to make you weep. When you realize what Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to do for our filthiness, our nastiness, our wickedness, the purity and the holiness of God, not knowing sin, can't have no relationship with sin, in righteousness and holiness up there in heaven, yet he looks down on this creation and he says, I love them, for God so loved the world. It doesn't mean that he will love and put up with your sin when he's saying that verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he was willing to die for sinners. But you know what's lacking? See, people say, well, you offend me. You need to be offended. Sin is a reproach to God. It's a reproach to God. I think some people think that heaven's just going to be all one big music fest. We're just going to have a good old time. I don't think if people really knew what heaven was, I don't think they'd want it. Because they don't want it down here. If you don't want holiness, brethren, hear me tonight. If you do not want holiness and cleanliness and purity and righteousness in your life now, you're not going to want to go to heaven because that's what it's going to be. Do you hear what I'm saying this evening, brethren? If you do not desire holiness now, why in the world do you want to go to heaven? Where all that is cried from those seraphim is, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Holy. Heaven is holiness. Heaven is cleanliness. Heaven is righteousness. Heaven is purity. That's why I want to go. I'm ready to get out of this world. I'm ready to be gone of this mess that's down here in society. Just give me Jesus Christ and let me just fall down before his feet and thank him for loving a sinner like me. Hallelujah, what a story. Who could take a, what is it, brother? He ransomed me. I can't remember the verses to it now because my mind's all messed up. But glory, he lifted me up from that miry clay. Glory to God. He ransomed me. Why? Brethren, do you stop and think a second of why God would love you? What do you have to offer God? Please tell me any good thing you can offer to God who has everything. There's nothing we bring to the table when it comes to God. That's why it's so dangerous to touch the glory, because we have nothing to glory of. I have have nothing to glory of. I realize I'm outside of Jesus Christ. I realize I'm vomit in the sight of God. But I'm so thankful this evening that He loves me. He made a way out to forgive me of my sins. He made a way for me to have righteousness. He made a way for me to live, to strive to live a holy and a clean life before Him. And someday I'll be able to see Him in heaven and spend all of eternity with Him. But you know what's going to happen in the last days? That the way of truth is going to be evil spoken of. Some of y'all have been out there on that street corner and holding up some street signs. The way of truth be evil spoken of. Just take one of these streets here in Catasauqua and just hold a Bible in your hand. Just maybe go like this a little bit and see if you don't get some reactions. And you're not even saying nothing. You're just holding the Bible. You're intolerant. You're full of hate. Stop. You don't even know me. I said it Sunday. You stop. You're full of hate, hate messages. Why are you so miserable then? If I'm so full of hate and you're so full of happiness and you got all the answers, why are you so mad? Why are you so miserable? Why do you got to go to the pharmacist and your psychologist and your psychiatrist and get yourself doped up because you can't handle life? If you got the answers and I don't and I'm crazy, why do you drug yourself up to deal with everything you're dealing with? Because you don't. Because these individuals, they do not have true satisfaction, and that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says as he finishes up this letter, he says, in both which I stir up. What is Peter trying to stir up? Your pure minds by how? How do you get your mind stirred up? How is your pure mind stirred up? By way of remembrance. By way of remembrance. By going back to what does the Bible say, reading your Bible, staying in your Bible, and remembering what the Bible says. Your pure mind. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 24. Book of Psalms chapter 24, and look at verse 1. A pure heart and clean hands. A pure mind. Look at Psalms chapter 24, Psalm 24, verse number 1. Psalm 24, verse number 1. Peter says here to these brethren, he says, I'm trying, as I get ready to finish up this letter to you, I'm trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Pure minds. Look at Psalm 24 and look at verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And we're going to get to that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. He's established the world upon the floods. Look at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Look at verse 4. He that hath clean hands, and look at this, and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. God desires purity, pureness. Take your Bible, look over at Job chapter 16, right before the book of Psalms. If you're in Psalms, right before Psalms, you have the book of Job. Look at Job chapter 16 and verse 17. Job 16 and look at verse number 17. Pure heart, clean hands, pure minds. Look at Job chapter 16 and look at verse 19. I'm sorry, Job 16, 17. The Bible says here, not for any injustices in mine hands, also my prayer is pure. My prayer is pure. Take your Bible, flip back over to Psalms and look at chapter 12. Pure prayers, a pure mind, a pure heart, clean hands. Psalm chapter 12, look at verse 6. What else is pure? Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation till 2020. I don't know about you. I don't know what you read. I think it says forever. I believe this book, this King James Bible, is God's preserved word. I believe it has no errors. I believe it's pure. I believe we can trust it. I believe we can lean upon it. I believe we can stand on top of it. And we can allow it to lead and guide and direct our lives. The pure word of God. Look over at Proverbs chapter 15. You got Psalms? Look over at Proverbs chapter 15. Peter says, I'm gonna try to stir up some purity. I'm gonna try to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Well, let's remember tonight that the word of God is pure. Let's remember tonight and make sure that our prayers are pure. Let's remember tonight and make sure that our heart is pure and that our hands are clean. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 26. Proverbs 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. The words of the pure. If you claim to be saved tonight and you're born again of the Holy Spirit of God, you're purified and you are pure in His sight through the blood that was shed on you, or the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that washed away your sins, you are now pure in the eyesight of Jesus Christ and of God. And thus, if we are pure, our words ought to be pleasant words. Pleasant words. Pleasant words. Words of the pure. Now, flip over to Proverbs 30. This is where we run into issues. Proverbs chapter 30, and look at verse number 12. Actually, Proverbs chapter 30, and let's look at verse number 11. Proverbs 30, verse 11. I believe this is referring to today. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. The Bible says here, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. So the Bible's saying that there's a generation that curses their dad and they don't bless their mother. Now, I believe you've always had individuals through all generations that were this way, or because, you know, you got some individuals in society that don't want to do right, and I understand that. But I don't believe you could apply this verse to the 1920s and 30s. I don't think so. I don't think you could apply it to the 1800s. You know, you had, during those times, though individuals might not want God or desire God, there was character and a respect towards God. Here in the United States of America, you had a respect towards God in the 30s and 40s. You might have had individuals that wanted nothing to do with God, but they respected God, they respected the church house, they respected preachers. There was a respect there, even though you might not follow in line and do it. You might want nothing to do with it, but there was still a respect for it. You didn't curse your mom out. You didn't curse out your dad. You didn't go in the store in the 20s and 30s and find a three-year-old slapping mom across the face because it's not getting the cereal it wants. I don't think you saw, I didn't live in the 20s and 30s, but from what I've read and heard people talk about, I don't think you had those types of the kids that disrespected their elders like they do today. Not saying that you didn't have bad kids back then, I'm not saying that, or rebellious kids, but they had somewhat of a respect towards those that were in authority, especially their parents. But there is a generation the Bible talks about that curses their father and doth bless their mother. If this isn't the generation, I don't know what it is. Verse 12, there is a generation along with this generation that curses dad and does not bless mom. Look at verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. I don't need God. Why do I need Jesus? I'm good. Go hand somebody a track. And I think 1 out of 10 individuals you hand a track to is going to say, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. No, you're not good. I'm pure. I'm good. There's a generation that's pure in what? God's eyes? No, look what it says. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. And yet is not washed from their filthiness. In their own eyes, they're pure. Does that not remind you of Revelation chapter 3 in the Laodicean church? They're blind, they're naked, they're wretched, they're miserable, but they think they're okay. This is Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. This is Laodicea. There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, yet they're not washed from their own filthiness. Look at verse 13. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Their whoreson leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. And there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say, it is not enough. It is enough. Brethren, there's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, yet the Bible says, unfortunately, that they're not washed from their filthiness. You see, Matthew 5:8 says that the pure in heart will see God. Timothy, Paul talks to Timothy and talks about a pure conscience and a pure heart. Purity. You know what the word purity means? It means cleanness. It means freedom from foulness or dirt. It means chastity, freedom from guilt or defilement of sin, innocency, as purity of heart or of life. We're lacking in our society today, and it has brought us destruction, purity. Nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing sacred. Everything that society and it's preached consistently to our young people and to on television and every outlet there is just let everything hang out. Don't let nothing back. Just go forward with however you feel. You just do it because it's all right. And there's no more shame. There's no more embarrassment. Nobody blushes no more. There's no more chastity. There's no more, or there's very little chastity and purity and pureness in our society today. Yet Peter says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Brethren, I'm going to close with some of these thoughts here tonight about the mind. I want you to take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The battle for the mind. I don't know who said this statement, but they said if you say a lie long enough, you'll start believing it. Say a lie long enough, keep putting forth a lie, put forth a lie, put forth a lie. And before you know it, you're going to start believing it. Peter tells those brethren that he sent his letter to, he says, brethren, I'm getting ready to pass off the scene. He said, I'm getting ready to pass off the scene here. I'm getting ready to close up this last letter that I'm writing to you. And he's saying, I'm trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I'm trying to get you to remember some things that you don't forget that you were purged from your old sins. That you don't forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. Purity of the mind and remembering to stay pure. You know why? Because look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. But look what Paul tells the church, but have renounced, what are we renouncing? The hidden things of dishonesty. Brother, you know what I can handle? And even with the kids that I dealt with at the juvenile center for 6 years, I'd rather you look in the face and say, I don't want what you got. I don't agree with what you're saying. I believe this, and this is what I'm going to do, and I want nothing to do with your God. And I'd rather have you do that to me than you play a little weasel game with me and try to weasel around what the truth is. Just be up. I can handle if you're just upright. I can handle that. Because at least I know where you stand, you know where I stand, and we're good. But this ushy-gushy enough and stop it. Just stand up and just say it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul says, listen, I'm not going to try to be dishonest with you. I'm not going to try to use craftiness to try to bring you into my religion. Either you want it or you don't want it. If I have the right attitude and there's grace and mercy being showed to you and you neglect it, I'm going to keep going on with Jesus. I'm going to keep going on with the Lord. I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to try to bring in people to the church and skirt around matters just so the numbers can be full and the church can be full. No. Paul says here to the brethren, he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. The whole counsel of the Bible. Amen. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, which means there's preachers out there today that are handling the word of God deceitfully. Paul says in the book of Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know what the Bible says? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'd rather just be straight up honest than trying to skirt around matters. Paul says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But he says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, he goes on to say in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, who's it hid from? It is hid to them that are lost. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world, that's not Jesus Christ, that's not the God in heaven, God the Father, it's not God the Father, not God the Son, not God Holy Spirit, in whom the God of this world, that is Satan, that's Lucifer, that's the devil, right now he is the God of this world, and look what he's done. He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why has he blinded the minds? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There's a blindness today. That's what the Bible says. It says, the devil, the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of what the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should pierce through that darkness and show them the hope and the help that can be found in Jesus Christ. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What's that treasure? That treasure is Jesus Christ. That treasure is the new birth. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're going to look at the next couple weeks here, probably two weeks, this thing of the mind. The mind. You know what a battleground is, and it starts with the mind. It talks about from within the heart of man proceed what? Evil thoughts. From the heart of man, within the heart of man proceed what? Evil thoughts. And I don't know about you, and I've said it before in this church, the hardest battles to deal with are the battles in the mind. The hardest battles that I have to deal with are not physical individuals or physical things that I can see and put my hands on. The hardest and most difficult battles to deal with is the battles that take place within my mind. Because you cannot escape. You lay your head on a pillow and the thoughts come in. You fall asleep for a little bit, you wake back up, and the thoughts flood back in again. And you can't leave, you can't go nowhere, nothing you can do, nowhere you can go, no food you can eat, no medicine you can take. Well, there is some medicine that'll knock you out. But when you come back to again, there's those thoughts again. The mind. The thoughts in the mind. The devil, the Bible says, the god of this world hath blinded what? He didn't blind the hearts, he's blinded the minds. He's blinded the minds. Because I think before you can start trying to affect the heart, you got to try to start getting the mind. The Bible says, mine eyes affect my heart. My ears affect my heart. What I take in, what I hear, what I see affects how my heart reacts. You can't tell me that the devil doesn't use entertainment, music, movies, social media to influence the minds and hearts of individuals. Influence you in ways that you don't even realize you're being influenced. You can't tell me music doesn't make you do things. I'll never buy it. I used to watch sometimes at the juvenile center. Sometimes I would go in the gym with those young men, and I would sit there, and they'd be playing basketball. But one of the worst things that ever happened when I was there sometimes, or what caused bad things to start happening, is when they started allowing some of the young kids in there to, while they were having recreation, listen to the music that they liked to listen to. Go ahead and get a bunch of young men that are from a gang-type culture, and you put them in a gym, they're going to start playing basketball, they're going to start playing different things and doing different things, start walking around. And you might have a fight, and you might have issues if it's just them in there. But if you bring in music into it, and music that they want to listen to, you're going to up it. And I remember one time they brought, one of the officers brought in something to play music in their little radio. And all of a sudden they're running around the gym like acting like they're shooting people. It wasn't like that before the music came in. But the music comes in, and the music, and I would even talk to these young men because of the relationships with them and say, oh yeah, oh yeah. I said, how many of you went out there before you committed a crime, it was just quiet in your vehicle before you decided to shoot somebody up? Oh, no, chap, it wasn't quiet. We'd had our music going. How when you get ready to do that drive-by, was it just silent in your car? No, no, we had music going. Yeah. You don't go into a bar or place like, there's very few places you can go into out here in society and music's not playing. Think about that for a second. When you go into stores, they got music playing. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them. There's some type of music playing sometimes because music's powerful and it influences the mind. I say these things tonight because Peter says he's going to try to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Why? Because the mind is a powerful thing. And if the devil can get a hold of the mind, he can get a hold of the heart and he can influence and change a life and direct a life. The God of this world blinded the minds of them which know not the truth, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, stirring up our pure minds. Next week, when we come back to this, I'm going to look at corrupted minds, vanity of the mind, fleshly minds, carnal minds. I started looking at this thing and this study on the mind. And I was blown away by how much in the New Testament the emphasis and things are talked about the mind. You're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Your mind. And God desires, as we get ready to close up here this evening, God desires for our minds, if you're saved tonight, God desires for your minds to be pure. Pure minds. Peter says, I'm going to stir. The word stir means this. It means to move. It means to put into action. It means to incite. It means to work up the pure mind by way of remembrance. Lest we forget why we're here. And we lose focus of our true mission. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If you're saved, you got a purpose. If you're saved, God has a purpose for your life. God desires to work in your life for His honor, for His glory, for His purposes, Because when you're saved, you're now a soldier of Jesus Christ. You're a soldier. Everyone in here tonight that's saved, you are now a soldier, which means you're not your own, and every soldier has got orders. Brother Glenn, Brother Sam, both of you in the military, look, you get orders. You get orders. You got a duty. You wake up, you're in the Marine Corps, you're in the Army, and you wake up and you're in the barracks. You just don't stay in bed all day. You got a job you got to do because you got orders from your superiors of what you need to do for this day. What's your duty? And as Christians today, we have got orders. We wake up every morning. We get orders from what? Our great commander, Jesus Christ. Lord, what's my orders today? Dear God, what's my duty today? Lord, what would you have me to do today? I'm following you as my commander. Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance that this world's not our home. We're just passing through. Refocus our eyesights. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things in this world. We're just passing through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. God, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for your help and for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for loving me. Lord, as David said in Psalm chapter 8, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, I do not understand, dear God, why you love me. I have no idea, Lord. But I'm thankful that you do. I'm thankful that you love me. And Lord, help me not to take that love for granted. Lord, help me not take that love for granted. Help me, Lord, I pray you'd help me in my life to love you even more because you first loved me. Help me, Lord, help me in this church. Lord, help us to do those things that are pleasing in your eyes. That we get home to heaven someday, Lord, and we have to stand before that judgment seat of Christ, Lord, that we won't regret anything. That we won't regret, Lord, how we've lived down here. Lord, help us with these things. Help us to apply them. Stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Dear God, I ask, help us, Lord, for you to receive the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have any prayer requests tonight? I'll just bring up a few real quick here that are on mine. Miss Kathy Covino let me know that the man that we were praying for, Mr. Tadera, he's the one that had COVID. He unfortunately passed away. But keep his family in prayer because they're sick with it as well. So please pray for them. Pray for the tracts that they were given, that they'd read them and think about their souls. So please keep the Tudera family in prayer. Please keep Brother June in prayer. He's still struggling. He was able to get some medicine, but it's messing with his blood pressure a little bit, making him dizzy. He's still fighting this sickness and his wife with COVID. So please keep Brother June and Sister May in prayer and keep them in prayer, especially with him in that blood pressure situation and dizziness. Keep the Covels in prayer as they're fighting off this COVID as well, and their son Derek. I know he took a little fall this past week. Please continue to pray for them. And again, like I mentioned earlier, Sister Kathy Helly, her mama passed away. Please keep them in prayer and the funeral services that are coming up, that God would just lead and direct in that situation there.